I'm 73 years old. That's, in this day and age, that's not that old. But suppose you say, well, I think I'll stay till I'm 75. That's really just two more years. And although you can make an impact in 2 years, the question was, is this not really the time to bring somebody in who's got 10 to 15 years to give and to take what we've laid out right now as a foundation and really move it to the next level? And so rather than think, well, I will do it in 2 years, let's do it now. And so I thought this was the perfect time to do it.
When you think of those 4 years at Birmingham Southern, obviously you came in a very turbulent time.
Yes.
Things are in a much different situation now, but what stands out to you in your mind over those 4 years?
First and foremost, the idea that even in the toughest times, we were bringing in remarkable students, and equally, if not more importantly, we were graduating remarkable students who in my opinion, are graduating as young men and women of character, who are going to go and live a life of significance. And I think that's been the real joy of the Hilltop.
When talking about your time here, you said this was a great time. Why was it a great time?
You know, when you come from a background like mine where you spent 35 years in the military and a lot of excitement going on there, and then entering something totally new like into banking and the excitement there, to come to a school that was, again, having some difficulty, and the challenge was there, the same challenge you had going into battle, and you looked around and you were doing it for something really important, which is a bunch of students who deserve the very best, and a faculty and staff who had, you know, gone through so much. It just was an exciting time, and it was a great time.
Anything happen that didn't go according to plan?
Of course things happen that don't go according to plan. I mean, I would have liked to have gotten off our SAC sanction 1 year earlier than we did. It took us 2 years to get off a warning. I just didn't realize how hard it is dealing with SACs. But to find now that we've been accredited for 10 years really was a very positive thing for us.
What will you miss?
I'll miss the daily interaction with the students. I'll miss the daily interaction with our faculty and our staff. We've got a remarkable faculty and staff. They are very talented. They believe in the students. They care for the students. And the students themselves, as I indicated, are very special.
Now, you've had a career in the military.
You've had
leadership experience there. You've had leadership experience in the private sector with banking. What struck you about leading an institution of higher learning?
For me, coming in, I think it was initially the view that, oh my gosh, this guy's going to come in and make us do push-ups every day. And, you know, getting beyond the vision of what a Marine officer is, which was taken from, you know, a few good men. I think it didn't take long for them to realize that leadership in the military or leadership in a bank is very similar to leadership on a campus. You have certain goals that you set, and you work hard to bring everybody together to appreciate those goals and to strive to reach them together. And I think they did that, and that's what I'm probably very proud of, is that this group of people recognize the difficulties that they were facing, and instead of throwing up their hands and saying, woe is me, they all put their, you know, shoulder to the wheel and brought us success.
There may be similar leadership principles, but you still have varied constituencies. You have alumni, you have faculty, you have students, you have parents. That somehow seems a little different than answering to shareholders or board of directors.
I mean, that's in many ways somewhat correct, but in reality, people respond to caring leadership. I say this all the time to our students and our faculty and our staff. You can pretend to care, but you can't pretend to be there. And I think what happened is that they saw that I was there. I was there, you know. I get into work around 6 o'clock in the morning. I leave at 6 or 7 o'clock at night. I eat, in the mess hall or the cafeteria. My wife and I lived for 14 months in a dormitory. We haven't taken a paycheck since in 4 years. I think people just realize, hey, this man is genuine. He is not pretending. He's serious. And because of that, all the sacrifice that they were going through, it became a shared sacrifice, not just them. And I think that made a difference. And I think that's a leadership trait that came out of the military. The Marine Corps has a saying, officers eat last. Officers eat last. The idea is that everybody else goes before the head person.
So what's next for you?
As you know, my wife and I are going to live in Birmingham, Alabama. We love the city. And so whatever I can do to help make Birmingham a better place for all of us, I'm going to do that. I'm a firm believer in a rising tide lifts all boats, and I'd like to see all boats lifted. In that context, I'm working with George French from Miles College, plus the mayor and his administration to bring the presidential debate here, one of the presidential debates here. And I personally believe we're going to be successful in doing that. I'm deeply involved in something called modern day slavery, human trafficking. I co-chair, along with a former director of the FBI by the name of Louis Free, a group of people who are intent on disrupting the business of human trafficking, taking the risk reward and putting it on its head. Right now, there's very little risk to the trafficker and the reward is great. We want to make that change. We want to make it very painful for them and the reward very minimal. I'm also involved in several other things up in Washington.
You plan to stay in Birmingham?
Yes,
but,
yes.
But why? My understanding is you didn't have any connection to the community before 5 years ago.
Yeah, we had never been to the state of Alabama.
So why stick around?
Because I will tell you, Birmingham really is unique. The people care. They give of their time. They give of their money. They give of their hearts and souls to the community. They are warm. They take responsibility and accountability very seriously. They have welcomed my wife and I. We are strangers in a strange place, if you think about it. And they welcomed us and showed us real love. And we basically fell in love with them.
Well, you mentioned human trafficking. Previously, you've written against CIA use of torture. You've spoken about Birmingham's need to embrace its civil rights, or you say human rights history, as you put it. Do you plan to continue to speak out?
Very much so. As a matter of fact, I'm working on an editorial right now on that area. I mean, I am one of those, and I know people are not going to like to hear this, but what the heck. I don't believe in the magic city. I think that's the wrong term. There are 10 cities in America today called the magic city. We have something so much more unique and special, and we are, in my opinion, the city of freedom. Freedom in civil rights and human rights, freedom in those rights, civil and human, given to us by veterans, and we're the first city to recognize Veterans Day. And so why we wouldn't be the city of freedom is beyond my comprehension. Google Magic City, and you'll find the first thing that pops up is a massage parlor in Atlanta. I don't like that. I don't think that's who we are.
Well, you talk about this need to rethink how we think about ourselves.
Yes.
And there's a lot of enthusiasm. It's very gung-ho. But when I think about something like rebranding or think about turning a school around, that's about money. It's about organization.
Yes.
It's not so clear-cut when you're talking about how to figure out how do we collectively think about this.
I think one of the things that probably needs to be done early on is to get some of the a group of people together that are made up of some of the what we call or what is called the power brokers of the city, some people from the government, and then some of the people who are living it every day, who try to get from point A to point B in some kind of transportation, and it takes them an hour and a half. People who can look at the multifaceted communities we have around the city and say, does it make sense to have X number of fire departments, X number of police departments, X number of school systems? Is there any capability to bring some of those together to make a difference? And I think that if we really look at it and get the politics and our own sense of our own community out of it and say, what's best for the entire constituency, I think we'll come up with some solutions. Like I said, a rising tide raises all boats, and there are many boats in the city of Birmingham and its environs.
Well, Birmingham Southern selected Dr. Edward Leonard as your replacement. What have you told him?
I told him that he's going to have a wonderful time. He's going to have a lot of fun. Ed's a good guy. He's very engaging. He's not shy. He's down there with the students and the faculty and the staff. He knows we've still got a hill to climb. He's got on his climbing boots, and he's going to be good, and the city is going to be blessed to have him.
Is there extra pressure having such a well-liked former president still around?
That's an interesting question. I know you kind of probably said it tongue-in-cheek, but that is a very interesting question because he's got not just one, he's got Neil Burdi around. And so Neil and I have gone to Ed, and we've made it very clear to him that we're here to support you. You dictate to us when you want us someplace and where you want us. Do you want us to help in raising money? Do you want us to help in talking to potential student? You tell us what you want us to do. We are not going to get in your way. And I think he believes that, and certainly Neil and I believe it. And so I think it's going to be a good partnership.
Well, you're obviously still coming into the office a few hours a day. When June 30th does come, what do you think that'll be like?
If it's like any of my other retirements, I will fail retirement miserably. I've already got an office with Neil down in the Landmark building. He and I are already planning our strategy for continuing to help Birmingham Southern College, but also to be prepared to do whatever the city wants us to do to help make it a better city. I am certainly not, and neither is Neil, had the ego or had the belief that we can make any major difference. What we want to do is be servants to the city. And if the city has something that they'd like us to do or me to do, I'm going to be prepared to do it.